Peter says Christians should behave well in the assembly, in the society, at home, in our workplace. Now there are many Christians, they believe, they think very pious on Sunday. When they come to worship meeting for Bible study, their behavior, their lifestyle, oh holy they are. Godly people, ideal people. They forget that. That should be the lifestyle even when we are in the college, even when we are in our workplace, even when we go to market, even when we go anywhere, our lifestyle should be the same. Christians should behave in the best manner wherever we are, whether in the society, workplace, family or assembly. So today we shall consider our lifestyle in the society. See, one more thing we should remember there. In all these verses, that means in all this portion, you know, up to 5:11, when Peter says about our right behavior or honorable conduct, he says about submission. Just see two verses there. See, 2:13 we can see, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors. So submit yourself. Now again verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters. 3:1 we read, likewise, wives, be submissive. Now, chapter 5:5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. So the emphasis in all these verses is submissiveness. Whether in the society, or workplace, or family, assembly, believers should have, Christians should have, an attitude of submissiveness. And so here we see in 13 to 17 the same thing. Submit to the authority. We all understand that generally people, their habit is rebellion. The people, the mentality of people, you know, their habit is to rebel against authority. Now if there is a question, they will, well, if we say that you, if it is in the assembly, you should be submissive, you will say, who are you? And in the society, in the government, wherever it is, it is the normal nature of man to be rebellious. But Christian should be submissive. Now we are going to consider 5 reasons why Christians should be submissive to authority. 5 reasons. First of all, we see verse 13. 5 reasons are there. What is the first one? Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance. See verse 15. For this is the will of God. For this is the will of God. Even from the beginning itself, that begins, you know, therefore submit yourself to every ordinance. Peter doesn't make a suggestion here. Brethren, if possible, you try to be submissive to the authority. If there is an opportunity, you please be yield to the law of the land. That is not the way Peter says there. He says, you should submit yourself to every ordinance, every authority. So here is the command. It is God's will. Just like it is God's will that everyone should be saved. God's will that everyone should be sanctified. Our salvation is God's will. Our sanctification is God's will. There are many things. God has explicitly said that it is his perfect will. Here again we see another perfect will of God explicitly, very clearly written there. Christians must be submissive to the authority. Why? What is the reason Apostle Peter gives it in detail? See, Paul says in Romans 13:1, he says, very familiar verse it is, I'm sure, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. It is God's desire. God himself, Peter Paul says, we should be submissive to the government, the authorities, because it is God who has appointed them. It's God who has appointed them. It is God who gives authority. There is no authority except from God. Every authority comes from God. That's what Apostle Paul says. So Christians must be subject to the governing authorities. Now one more verse we understand from Daniel, book of Daniel. Daniel speaks to Nebuchadnezzar. Very interesting verse it is. You know it, Daniel chapter 2 verse 21. Daniel 2. Yeah. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. 4:17 and 25. In the end of that verse, the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of man. Of men. So 25. In the end of 25, till you know that Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he chooses. How many Bible verses there we understand that we need to understand? It is God who sets the governments. So we should always yield to them. We should be willing to be submissive to them. We should yield to the authority. Now one more thing we need to understand. God does it for what? Now there are sometimes we may feel that this government, I'm not going to speak about politics, it's not my topic. Now, sometimes we may think that this president or this prime minister, this government is not the right one. We need to overthrow them. We need to remove them. Or we may feel that they are not the right people. We must remember, when we go back to the history, especially the book of Isaiah, we can understand that God, even he will raise up certain kings for what? To fulfill his own purposes. Maybe we shall see one more verse from Romans 9:17. Romans 9:17. We read there, for the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth. God will raise up certain kings for his own purposes. In his sovereign will, he will raise up. He will give opportunity to kings that they may come to power. So God's purposes will be fulfilled. In the book of Isaiah, it's very interesting to see how God used Assyria, Babylon, Persia. Asia, those kings, God used them for his own purposes. And when his purposes are over, and he removed them, it is God who is behind every authority. So what shall we do? It is God's will that we may be submissive to them. Wherever we are, whatever land, whichever land we live, it should be our responsibility. We should be good citizens. We should be willing to be submissive to them. So that is the first reason. It is God's will, because God has appointed them in his sovereign will to accomplish his purposes. Number two, the second thing. Something more is there. Today I'm a little bit, one thing more, ordinances, that verse, 1 Peter chapter 2:13, that word ordinance, maybe in some translation you will see, that should be actually, what is that? Institution. In other words, we are not supposed to obey each and every law. I'll come there. Don't misunderstand me. Peter doesn't say you should be submissive to every law. He's saying you should be submissive to every institution, authority. In other words, what we are supposed to do is, see, there may be a law given by or enacted by an authority that we cannot obey as Christians. If we obey that law, we are violating God, God's principles, God's command. So what shall we do? So there will be an occasion when we may not be, we won't be able to fulfill or go according to the law of the land, because the word of God says something else. So when in such an occasion comes, what shall we do? Now we need to keep the balance. We are told to be submissive to the authority. At the same time, we need to remember that when that authority will say something that we have to do against God's will, we have to obey God. Apostle Peter said, Peter says in chapter 4 and chapter 5 of the book of Acts, Peter and John, they were called and said, "Don't preach in the name of Christ. Don't preach." What was their reply? "You only decide. Whom shall we obey?" We will obey God rather than so that should be our commitment. When there is a law that will violate the principles of God, then we need to obey God. As long as it is not against the principles of the Bible, we need to be submissive to the authority. You see in the book of Exodus, chapter 1 verse 17, about the midwives, it was a risky thing. They disobeyed the king, because they knew it is God's will. What? To disobey the king. Daniel and his companions, they said, "No, you're not going to worship." They disobeyed the king. So such occasions will come, but at the same time, yet, even when we disobey, we should not hate, we should not, despise, or we should honor the institution, and we should honor the authority. We should be submissive to the authority. So that's the first thing, the will of God. It is God's will that we may be submissive to authority. It's God ordained to accomplish his own purposes. Now number two, we see from 13 again, it is the Lord's example, the example of Christ. You see, again in verse 13 it is written, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." for the Lord's sake means, I think primarily it speaks of because our Lord Jesus Christ, He has exemplified. He has lived in such a way. The Lord has followed this principle. When the Lord was here on the earth, in Matthew's Gospel 22:21, we know that, just see that verse. When Pharisees, they tried to trap Him, the Lord says in Matthew's Gospel 22:21, He says, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. One more version, John's Gospel 18:36. The Lord says to His enemies, He says that, 36. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If My kingdom were of this world, My servants would fight. My servants would fight. But My kingdom is not of this world. I'm not going to fight for My rights. My servants, they will not fight for My rights, for our rights. So the Lord Jesus Christ, even though when He was living in this world, He spoke against people. He spoke against individual men, against their sin. But He never said that He should overthrow the Roman rule, or He should remove the high priest, or He should do... He never spoke against authority. That should be our example. That's our example. Not only the Lord Jesus Christ, after the verse we see, Apostle Paul, Peter, and these apostles, when they see the book of Acts, what was their preaching? They never preached something against the authority. They were willing to abide by the law. That's why Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 13. Romans were persecuting Christians. They knew the Romans, the Roman government is going to persecute them. Again, later on. And Peter and Paul will be killed by them. Yet they say that we should be submissive to the authority. That is our example. So Christians are not supposed to call for a strike. We are not supposed to join a strike or a morcha or something against the authority. We need to abide by the authority. Whoever may rule, we should be willing to be submissive to them. Because every ordinance, every authority comes from God. Every ordinance comes from God. It is God's will. And secondly, it is the example of Christ. As the apostles, they began to preach. Nothing else. And we need to preach the gospel that can change the heart of people. And we cannot change a government. Now the third reason why. That again, in the same words we can find, I believe that Lord's sake, that speaks of, that's another idea. What is that? We should be willing to be submissive to the authority for the glory of God. For the glory of God. So that is the third is the glory of God. Now how can we understand that? How can we, you know, how can we make it clear? We have seen that all the authority, it is God who has appointed them. God has ordained them. Our prime minister or our chief minister, the government here, the local government here, anybody, everybody. Bible says God has ordained, God has allowed, God has permitted, God has set them. So the Bible says, from the Bible we can understand, when we honor them, when we respect them, we respect the one who has set them, appointed them. So we are indirectly obeying God, indirectly honoring God. Or on the contrary, if we resist, if we rebel, indirectly we are resisting God. Indirectly we are doing something, we are dishonoring God. So it's God's glory. See, Romans 13 verse 2. Apostle Paul says it. Romans 13 verse 2. Therefore, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God. Those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Or those who resist the authority will bring judgment on themselves. When we go against the command, against the authority, against the government, against the law of the land, we are doing something against God's purposes. We are dishonoring God. Now one more thing we should remember here, that is applicable in connection with the society or the local government or assembly or home. The one who is sitting in an office, the one who is sitting on that post may be bad. King individually, he may be bad. Husband may be bad. The elders, one of the elders may be bad. What shall we do? The Bible says, yet we need to be submissive to them because of the office, because of that post, because of their authority. That individual may not be right. That individual may be wrong. He may be a dictator. Yet Christians, believers are supposed to obey, respect authority. And it's very little bit complicated, maybe for some, but I believe it's very serious matter. Then maybe when we come to a family and assembly, we may see it. But here I think we should remember it very clearly. Individuals may not be according to our desire, our standard, but yet we have to respect them, whatever post they are having. Elders, one of the elders may be wrong, yet we have to respect them. Husband may be wrong, yet wife has to respect him. So the government, minister, or chief minister, whoever it may be. So we need to be submissive to the authority so that God may be glorified. It's a testimony. When we are good citizens, when we obey the rule, when we don't break a traffic signal, when we go according to the rule of the land, according to the law of the land, when we abide by all what the law says, others will take a note of us. It's a testimony. We are following our Lord. We are following the things. It's a testimony. God's name will be glorified. So, the will of God and the example of Christ and the glory of God demand that we should be willing to be submissive to the authority. Now the fourth one. That we see in verse 14. Verse 14 we read. End of 4:13. To govern is as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Now, in Timothy, Apostle Paul gives the same idea. You can see it a little more clearly. The same idea is found in Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, verse 2. For kings, he says that you should pray for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. In all godliness and reverence. So Paul says, Paul and Peter both say, because there is authority, because there are rules, regulations, restrictions, there is a government, what will happen? The evil doers will be punished. The one who will do good will be appreciated, praised. In other words, there will be order, there will be peace in the society. When everyone will be willing to yield to the authority, there is peace, it helps us. There is order, there is peace is there, there is order is there. That is the first thing we can understand from there. From for our own good. But one more thing is there in the end of verse 15. Not only it gives order and peace, verse 15, this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So our submission to the authority will help us. Number one, the society will be peaceful. There will be order. There will not be chaos. There will not be anarchy. There is a systematic life will be there. At the same time, there is our ethics. Apostle Peter says, there are people who speak against us. He says that we have seen earlier also, the people are watching in their ignorance. Foolish men, they don't know who Christian is, they have no reasoning power, they have no sense, so they try to accuse Christians, but they can be silenced by our right life, our honorable life, our lifestyle. So silence the slanderer, or silence the accuser, the one who will accuse us, will be silenced, seeing that we go by the law. We live according to the rule. Christians are supposed to yield to the authority for their own good. Order and peace, silence to silence the slanderer. Now the silence, the word, that muscle, that means to prevent somebody from talking. Stop them. We can stop people who speak against us by our right lifestyle, by our honorable lifestyle. Now, number four. Fourth one is, four or five? Here it is four. Verse 16. I think it is five. And my word or PowerPoint, no, that automatic, that changed it, it seems. Verse 16. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice. Now, what does it mean? As free. Our freedom. See, we have seen four things. I believe four things, I'll explain. The reasons why Christians should be willing to abide by the law. Number one, the will of God, God's commandment. God has appointed it. And number two, the example of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, never tried to speak or do anything against the system, the authority. And number three, the glory of God. By this, our Lord's name will be glorified. When we respect the king, the authority, we respect the one who has set them, the one who is behind every authority. And number four is our own good. It helps us. Number five is our freedom. See, that verse has much meaning. That verse, if we take it alone, we can elaborate, study it in different manner. Lot of ideas are, lot of things are there. But the basic idea is, we are free. We are free, that we know very well. Free from sin. The one who has come to Christ, we are free from sin. We are free from the law. We are free from Satan. We are free from self. Christian, a true Christian, is the one who is really enjoying life of freedom. We are free. We are free from the past. We are free from guilt. We are free from everything. Free life we experience. Then, what shall we do? Now what Peter says, I'll come there. Many people, what Peter wants to say that, because you are free, what you can do? The idea, I believe this is the idea. Because you are free, you should be able to freely abide by the law. A Christian is free. See, generally speaking, an unbeliever, not generally speaking, unbeliever, he is very hard for him to obey. Because as we have seen earlier, obedience is not his natural trait. He is son of disobedience. But a Christian, he is free from the bondage of Satan. He is free from dominion of self and sin and so on. Now he is free. He is free to obey. Obedience for a Christian is an easy thing by the help of the Holy Spirit. So to yield to authority for a Christian is easy. You know, see, generally speaking, you know, people, they yield to authority because of compulsion. You wear a, when you go by motorcycle, you know, most of the people, they wear a helmet because police will catch them. If there is not a fishing, many will not wear a helmet. Because they are forced to obey the law. Most of the people, they obey the law because of compulsion. Because there is no other way. Because not a choice. But Christian, easy for him to obey the law. Because it is his habit to obey. It is his nature to obey. Because he is free from sin. Free from all kinds of pressure. Self, Satan, and so on. That's Apostle Paul Peter's argument here. Because you are free, you can freely yield to the authority. But then Apostle Peter gives a clause there. Because he knew many Christians will say, I am free so I can live in any manner. That's why he says there, free, comma, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice. Many Christians, even those days itself, they used to say, we are free, so we can live any manner. Sin will not affect us. We have overcome sin. We have overcome the world. We have overcome Satan. Devil cannot do anything. Say, world cannot do anything. Flesh cannot do anything. We are free, so we can live any manner. Apostle Paul answers it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 10. Very good to study. Maybe you shall read those verses, not the whole verse, passage, few verses. Matt 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We read there, verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach, and the stomach for foods. But God will destroy both it and them. Now chapter 10. We can't go into the details of that portion. Just to, you know, get some idea. 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. 31, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So Apostle Paul in chapter 6 and 10 answers this question. Christians are free, so can they live in any way? Maintaining the question is about eating meat from the temple. We are free. What Apostle Paul answers there? He says there, it is true you are free. You are free. But before you exercise your freedom, you have to ask certain questions. Many questions are there, you will find many questions there, but these are just a few questions. See, you have to ask, he says, does it help me? Does it edify me? Is it for my spiritual edification? Whatever they do, they are free to do. But whatever they do, we should ask that, does it help me? Does it enslave me through my action? I will be addicted to certain things. It will enslave me or not. And then, does it hinder others? My action, will it be a disturbance to others? Will it be a hindrance to someone else's spiritual progress? And then we have to ask, can I do it for God's glory? Can I do it for God's glory? Christian, it is true, we are free, but we cannot do anything. Everything. That is limitation. Even today, you know, many Christians I know, especially the young generation, they say, we are free. We can do anything. That is the refrain, that is the words of the present generation, even outside. We are free. We can wear anything. We can eat anything. We can go anywhere. No, Christian cannot do anything. Christian cannot wear anything. Christian cannot go everywhere. He has to see these things. Does it help you? Does it enslave? And does it hinder someone else? Does it give God the glory? That's what Apostle Peter says. You should never use liberty as an excuse. Liberty as a clock for vice. But as born servants of God. We are free, but we are slaves to God. True freedom is coming from where? Because we are slaves to God. Our freedom is the result of being what? Slave to God. We accepted the Lord. We received Him as our Savior and Lord. We became His own. We are His servants. It is by becoming servants to God we became free. So we are free because we are servants of God. Our freedom is not absolute freedom. Our freedom is not lawlessness. We cannot do anything, everything. We have to be under the Lord. We need to be bold servants to God. We are free, but slaves to God. We have chosen freely to obey God. We are free, that is true, but that freedom is not for lawlessness, but that freedom is to freely obey God, freely obey the authority. That is the logic of Apostle Peter. So, Peter gives five reasons why Christians should be willing to be submissive to the authority. So freedom is being slave to God. God's born servants obey freely. Five reasons. The will of God demands, the example of Christ demands, the glory of God, our own good, and our freedom. Now verse 17 is a conclusion. Conclusion of Apostle Peter. He summarizes it. You know verse 17? Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. No need of much explanation there. But the idea is, I think Apostle Peter wants to say, everyone deserves some kind of appreciation, regard. Honor everyone, generally speaking. There is no individual in this world who doesn't deserve at least little bit of respect. There is no one in this world, you will find, he deserves only zero respect, no. There are people, our respect for them may be different, but there will be no one. Looking at a person, we can never say, he doesn't deserve any respect at all. Because everyone is created in the image of God. We need to see that every individual is God's own creation. Respect everyone. Hate no one. Respect everyone. That is a general statement. Then he says, love the brotherhood. Brotherhood means? In the NIV, it's written, love the brotherhood of believers. He doesn't say, love the brethren or love the believers. He says, love the brotherhood of believers. I think he wants to say that, love the church, love the fellowship, love the believers as a company, the whole of the church. Love them. Fear God. Respect Him. Fear Him. Honor the King. So everyone should be regarded. We should regard everyone according to their condition. We should respect everyone. We should honor them. We should be submissive to King and the authority. Because it's God's will, example of Christ and the glory of God, and for our own good and our freedom. So may God help us that we may behave well. See, that is the main thing. Honorable conduct. Honorable lifestyle, honorable behavior in the society. Let us be known as people who are good citizens. Citizens of heaven, we are citizens of heaven. Same time, citizens of a country. In India, we are here. Obey. Pray for that those who are in authority. Yield to them. Be submissive to them. And through that, God will be glorified. And through that, God's goodness will be exhibited. May God bless these words to our hearts. May His name be.